Hey everybody, and welcome back to Show Your Loves channel. So what we will be talking about today will be seasonal affectiveness disorder, aka SAD. And once again, I am Shamika Tumblin.
And I'm Eilish.
And we are your Show Your Love ambassadors, just bringing you some real conversations. So we're just going to jump straight into our conversation of seasonal affectiveness disorder. And at least one of the reasons that we decided we wanted to have this conversation, you and I, was that we know it's coming, so to speak. If this was Game of Thrones, this is the part where they say winter is coming. And for a lot of people, we know what depression is. We know what depression feels like. But a lot of people don't understand, why is it that when winter comes, so does depression? And a lot of that is seasonal affectiveness disorder. It's literally those symptoms of depression, but they only occur during those colder, you know, months where we have less light out. And what we also notice is that they happen the same time every year. So depression is long-term. There is no time frame on it. It can happen at any point. Sometimes there are life events that cause depression. And then at other times we have to, you know, go to the doctor because we notice that it's a hormonal imbalance or other factors are contributing to the depression. But with seasonal affectiveness disorder, you could be at a great time in your life. You could have just gotten a raise. Like, it doesn't have to be that there's a preceding life event, but whenever like winter hits, those cold months start to blow in and it gets dark, you notice it starting to happen. And especially right now with, you know, Corona, a lot of people had noticed like, those things that generally lead to sad, like it getting cold, me not going out as often, me being isolated, those make me start to feel those symptoms. Well, I've been isolated now all year and I'm noticing like where I could push through, it felt like now it's getting harder, and it's because those cold temperatures starting to come in with it. Like we're getting dark now where I am. It was right now the sun would be setting, but the sun set at literally around 6. Yep. So, you know, your body starts to pick up on those things that are happening outside in nature. And you're like, hold on, I'm feeling something different, but what's happening? And then you realize like, oh, it's literally the seasons are changing. And with that season change, my mood is changing. Mm-hmm. And also you notice that too, because when spring and summer come around, your mood instantly boosts. You're no longer in what, like that funk or that constant fog. So I've kind of laid out what SAD is as far as when it occurs. Eilish, do you want to add anything to that as far as like what you know or have experienced with SAD when it comes to this time of the year?
Yeah, so when you were talking, I was just sort of thinking about just like, you know, you're in your house, you're doing whatever, working from home. All of a sudden you manage to look out the window. You're like, oh, it's so dark outside. It's 10 o'clock. No, it's not. It's 7:30. You know, it's just like, dang, that's really depressing. You know what I mean? Because as soon as the weather got nice, folks was running outside trying to get some sun, trying to get some fresh air. And so the cold will be a deterrent from people going outside to do those things. Now, I intend on continuing to do my little daily walk, although it's cold. I'm a winter baby, so I'm just like bundle up, you know, wrap around the scarf a few times and just head on out, and just, you know, sort of like still get that fresh air, be a little bit colder, it'll be crisper. Hopefully, you know, I'm not even going to say that because I think it's really weird when it does not snow. So I think it should snow, because last year when it didn't snow, I said, you guys, this is weird. And then next, you know, a few months later, we have coronavirus. So, but, you know, I can see, you know, how SAD hit folks a lot harder this year, because like you said, we've been in the house, like we've been told to stay at home. Some of us had stay at home mandates and we've been just tucked away for, you know, pretty much the whole year. And so it's sort of like, where's the relief, right? And so I'm just a little nervous about how folks are going to respond, you know, if they start to feel a little weird because it's getting darker, it's getting cold. And also, you know, how is SAD going to affect people when the holiday season comes up and they're missing family members, right? Because we know folks that have passed away from COVID-19. And so, you know, that's just like another layer on the stress that has, you know, like that already comes with the changing of the temperature, you know, the sunlight. For me, out this window, I was able during the entire summer see the sunset. So when it's, you know, the fall and the winter, I don't see it anymore. And I actually really enjoyed watching the sunset. You know, I would stop. It forced me to stop and just soak it all in. And it's just very fast, right? The sun will set in a matter of just like minutes, and you could blink and it'd be gone, but it was just so beautiful. And then to see the sky change and turn purple and turn pink and turn orange. And so, you know, that was something that I always look forward to. As soon as the spring hit, I'm like, oh, I'm about to see the sun. The sun is so symbolic of so many things, and the sun is so healing for so many of us. And so for some of us that won't have the sun for a while, it's something to be, you know, worried about, you know, like just like I'll say extra cautious about. And you know, it's time for folks to really think hard about activities that they can do to circumvent those sad feelings, those feelings of blue, the feelings of feeling low, you know, lethargic and all of that.
So I love that you touched on those symptoms. So the things people can notice, because I talked about basically like it being depression. And something to note with that is, you know, not only do you have the mood changes, but sometimes you are feeling fatigued, you're sleeping longer. For some people, you may find that you're being restless. There are changes in your appetite. If you're an emotional eater, especially, this is one of those times when you start to feel it, because you're gaining weight, and a lot of it too is because your body's starting to crave more carbs and sugars, mm-hmm. and you're not working out because you don't have the motivation to, so you're just sleeping. So that's essentially what helps you gain the weight. It's not just if, oh, I gain weight during this time of the year. Look at how your habits have changed that contribute to the weight gain. And then also just increase in what some people call purposeless activities. Or at least that's what some of the websites are calling it. But I wouldn't say they're purposeless activities. It's just you increased your sedentary lifestyle. So you're increasing your TV watching. It could even be educational videos. Maybe you are somebody who enjoys listening to podcasts, but you're not walking while you do that anymore. Maybe you're doing that more while you sit in bed or while you're sitting and eating. You also may actually be doing things where you're finding yourself jumping from activity to activity because you can't concentrate on one thing long enough. So this is like when you're at work and you're supposed to be answering your emails and you find that you got 1,001 projects started, not completed, but 1,000 tabs open, because you know you can't sit still with that one project long enough. And then the ultimate, you know, with anybody that's feeling depression, is those suicidal thoughts, or constant thoughts about death or dying, which is also why, even if your person's like, I only get, you know, those feelings this time of the year, mental health, checking in your mental health, having a therapist or having someone to talk to is important. So I say that because you mentioned on the deterrence and having those, basically those healthy coping skills and healthy mechanisms. Mm-hmm. We're transitioning in our seasons, but we're not yet to winter. So now is a great time to talk about, like, what are those healthy coping skills and coping mechanisms? Because we talk about them now so that you have them in your toolbox to use when winter comes. And I think from a mental health perspective, and also as social, you know, professionals, we have a slew of things that we know are in our toolbox. And of course, you all, that's just to give you some background, I guess, a little like, this is why I'm talking about this or why I'm certified to talk about this. But in actuality, you don't have to be a mental health professional. You don't have to be a public health professional. These are tools that anyone can use. You can find them on Google, at your local store. These are the things that we're going to mention. And also, because a part of Show Your Love is giving everyone the ability to advocate for themselves and be able to spread education and knowledge to their communities, you don't have to have any certification to take what you're about to hear, what you're learning, and share it with others so that everybody can have the knowledge and power they need to basically win this season, so that we don't all be overcome with depression, sadness, or even just a decrease in our motivation or our drive and efficiency this year. So I want to start by saying, I heard you talk about you like taking walks. Amazing. Yes, bundle up. And when it's super, super cold, YouTube has great free videos
right.
of physical activity. So whether that be yoga, because at least I know, like, matter of fact, you ain't even got to jump on YouTube. Go check out Ali's channel. Like, she got amazing yoga tips, and I know she's going to be adding some more. So like, you show your love to your advantage. Check out some of the videos that other ambassadors have posted, individuals are talking about, and how they're combating their emotions, to literally just follow them along and do what they're doing. But also, if you're somebody who likes to walk, and you have the financial means, and you have a treadmill, or you have a stationary bike, now is the time where you use the materials that you've been hanging your clothes up on.
Yes, dust it off.
Remove them sweaters that's hanging up on that bike.
But you know what's funny? Though, so that was me before quarantine, and then I actually really, really started to use my items, because those are the very items that people could not find. They were sold out everywhere. People could not find dumbbells and resistance bands and Pilates circles and all these other things. And I had them in my house because I was stockpiling, I guess, fitness accessories. And I finally got a chance to really, really, really incorporate them in my everyday life. What's funny is when you were talking about like the toolkit, I like to think of it as like mental hygiene, because it's sort of like, let's have things in place before it happens so that we can hopefully lessen the blow. Because sometimes we're very reactionary and we wait for the thing to happen, the other shoe to drop, and then we act when it's sort of like, you know what? Let me get my handy dandy, you know, mental hygiene, you know, toolkit, and take out a tool that I can lean on when I need it the most. So I thought that was really an important point, because you triggered that thought inside of me. And I was like, yes, we have to get in the habit of like planning, right? So just like we want to plan, you know, pregnancy, plan our family, plan our life, plan our vacation, we should plan our tools to be able to preserve ourselves, to heal ourselves, and to keep ourselves going. Because like I mentioned, it's just been so many feelings going on just because of the nature of what's happening outside. Like I was on my way home from work today, and I'm looking outside the bus, I'm just looking at everybody with a mask on, and just like, wow, this feels like a movie. But it's not a movie. It's real life. It's happening, right? And so, you know, in New York City, we were the epicenter for the coronavirus back in March. It was rough, okay? It was rough. Every day was just like, how many people died? Like, you know, what are they doing? You know, like, are they running out of space in the hospitals? People were dropping like flies. And see, you know, people just really suffer mentally and emotionally. And so it was just like so heavy. And then it was points in times where I didn't want to go on Facebook, because it was like, you know, like little Facebook style obituaries of people who have lost parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and stuff like that. And it was really rough. So that was things that I've seen. So I can imagine what, you know, like our viewers have experienced, have seen, you know, in their own timelines, in their own lives. And so I really, really advocate for us to, you know, just go through a few tips for folks. And hopefully, you know, it'll stick for someone and it could try it all out. If not, they could let it go, you know, or they could share it with a friend, because everything is not for everybody. And that's half of the battle, is figuring out what works for you. So for me, it'll be yoga. It'll be meditation. It'll be aromatherapy. You see my little diffuser back here, right? with my BCOM oil.
The plants.
You like my plants? Yeah, I know. You see a few of them, and some over here too. But and yeah, plants is a part of my self-care as well. But you know, I found what works for me. And so like on my website, you know, I just sort of like go through little unconventional ideas that people may not have thought of before. So you know, I know we're both very creative beings, and this should be a really good conversation and very helpful for people to sort of like shift the way they approach mental health and mental hygiene.
Yes.
Yeah.
So to literally just keep that going, outside of physical activity, because we both now touched on ways to find physical activities, Alish brought up again social media. So when you're already feeling depressed, sad news or just indifferent news, you take it all in differently. So maybe decreasing your screen time, So whether that be letting go of social media altogether and forcing yourself to read a book during that time instead, or pick up a new hobby. And if you're going to continue to be on social media, or maybe you use social media as your platform to spread messaging, if that is the case, filtering through, like, start using those controls.
Mm-hmm.
Start looking at who Facebook allows you to hide people. Start hiding them. They ain't got to know that.
That's the best feature.
Yeah, just hide them.
The best. It's the best.
On Instagram, they're starting to, you know, do the same thing. Twitter, and you can hide whole threads on there. Like, just put in keywords that you don't want to see. So whatever are your trigger words, put them into your block content. Mm-hmm. And you, anybody that uses those words in Twitter or on Twitter in certain threads, you won't see any of the content. So that's right. One way to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Also, breathing, yes. Mm-hmm. Do some meditation apps. Also, they have great breathing information on YouTube. And then there's also free information on Google. You can print out different breathing activities and follow along on them yourself. So practicing until you build up the capacity to make it through the whole worksheet.
Mm-hmm.
I took that deep breath because this is an election year.
Oof.
So ironically, as we get ready to go into what is some of the hardest months for a lot of people, mm-hmm. we are also facing a huge decision as a country. Not going to tell you how to vote. I'm just going to say vote. And outside of that, take care of yourself. If you are somebody that already knows how you're going to vote, maybe cut off some of the election, you know, propaganda or mass media. Don't engage in discussions with other people who may be, you know, on a train of, you know, whatever candidate they don't think is the best candidate, or are trying to bash you for your way of thinking. Protect yourself. You are worthy, you are deserving. And no matter who you are voting for, we have, you know, the freedom of speech here in America. So utilize that. Like, the important thing is to use your voice and don't let anyone stop you. Yeah. And so to remember that this election, no matter the outcome, and I think it's just something we all got to repeat to ourselves, it's temporary in the terms that 4 years does not seem temporary, but
I mean, they fly by, but you know,
in five years, those 4 years will be over.
Yeah.
We'll have a new president. No matter the outcome, in 4 years, we have to vote again.
Yep.
And then also looking at everything as a growing experience. So while, yes, the political movements and the racial climate and other things of our nation are impacting us right now, and they are literally determining a lot for the future, if we don't set boundaries in place and you don't create a form of self-care or a self-care routine for yourself, and you allow this to mentally destroy you or even physically destroy you or ultimately be the end of you, then how are you going to contribute to making the world better if you're not
and
are here but not mentally here, you still can't do these conversations or these movements.
You made me think of like boundary setting, you know, and moments ago when you were talking about, you know, turning off, you know, social media and screen time, and it all for me falls underneath setting boundaries, and that's something that I am big on. And so what's funny is if people are not good at setting boundaries, now there are apps to help you set boundaries, right? And so like what I've used before was a timer. And it was like, all right, your social media is gonna get cut off. Like, you select what apps you want to be shut off at a certain time. And it was like at 10 o'clock, off. I cannot get notifications. And that's another thing, turning notifications off is the thing, but it's like, I can't get notifications. I cannot sign on, because as soon as I sign on, there's like a big old like X on the screen, like, no, this is blocked, you know, and stuff like that. And so that helped me set boundaries. Now I need to turn it back on. But when I was using it, it was very helpful, because you know what's funny? When you're using those sort of like boundary setting tools, because you have to like sort of like learn how to set boundaries, you find yourself doing other things. things that might be more meaningful, that might bring more joy, and of course, increase the likelihood of being calm and tranquil and at peace. And so I was thinking about that while you were talking, and also just setting boundaries, period. Like you said, not stirring up conversation with somebody who likes to debate. I don't like to debate. I don't feel like debating, so I won't. So if I know you that type of person, I'm not even going to say any of the keywords that will set you off. It's not happening, because I'm just trying to keep my peace over here. You know what I mean? So yeah, I agree with you on that. I think a lot of folks actually do not know how to set boundaries, and it goes from social media all the way to like working from home. You know, like, all right, you know, is it clock out time? I mean, how far are you going past clock out time? You know, because you're sitting at home, and it's not like it's a transition from an office to your home. You're now in your office, home, relaxation, you know, restaurant. you're in a space where all these things sort of happen. So sometimes the lines get blurred also. And so that can also drive you crazy, because like, okay, you do a 9 to 5, you stay on until 7, you have 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, you're making dinner maybe if you didn't meal prep. And it just seems like the cycle just keeps going. You just don't have enough time to do the things that you love, things that bring you joy, things that fill you up, things that keep you going.
And to add to that, as far as setting boundaries, especially when working at home, this goes back into creating schedules. So something that I talk about with my clients often is, how, like, you have a schedule where you know intentionally what you're doing. So if you're working from home, especially when we're talking about daylight hours are being like shortened, are you starting work on time? And if your work start time is before the sunrise, then how are you making sure you clock out on time so that you can utilize a little bit of sunlight time, like sunlight that's left, to actually get out and feel some of that sun, because that's a form of therapy. Mm-hmm. And then also to do things while the sun is up other than work, so that you don't feel like, with this change, all I do now when the sun is up is work. Like, it's a beautiful day outside, but I'm stuck at work, so I'm not going to get to enjoy it. And when I'm off, it's going to be dark. Right. So making sure you're utilizing that schedule. Also, the importance of making sure that you understand and set a schedule is knowing, if I set a schedule of what I need to do, I can also then schedule in the things I want to do. Yes. So how do I then prioritize myself and add myself into that schedule? And that's all about setting boundaries, protecting the time and space for me. That also includes protecting time and space of me being with people. Right now, we're not seeing people in person, but then, like you said, with the screen time and apps, the time you're spending on apps being frustrated or talking to other people or trying to find content that's going to motivate you, how many people in your support system that are in your phone you could call up and have a FaceTime conversation with?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're doing our, you know, interviews basically, or this content for you all on this IG channel using Zoom. Yep. So how can you set up Zoom conferences where you can have multiple family members or multiple friends in and literally have reunions that are free? Nobody has to pay to get on a plane. You ain't got to pay to book a room. It's like, hey, what time are you free? You
That's can
bring
it.
The baby, yeah, bring the baby on if you need to. Bring the food with you if you need
play to. Play a game. Yeah.
We're gonna use social media to our advantage and create community, lean into our support systems, and use the tools and technology that we have to build, like, basically to expand our communities. Because social media, if used in a way that uplifts us, can expand our social supports, not constrict them.
It's all how you use it. It's sort of like, you know, some people say, oh, I stay away from that because it's drama. I'm like, is there drama, or did you find yourself in drama, or do you attract drama? Because, you know, curating what you see is very powerful all in of itself also. So like, most of my social media is, let me see, what is it? It's plants. I'm a plant mama. It's plants. It's like artwork, because I like art. As you can see, I got some art on the walls. It's cooking. It's just like, you know, Black Girl Magic. It's all those sort of things. And I don't follow the Shade Room. No shade to the Shade Room, but I don't follow gossip, you know, sites. I don't follow those things that's gonna agitate me. And so it's very important to curate anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, right? So we start following people, and then they shift, and you ever go back, you're like, wait, well, I forgot why I started to follow this person. Like, why, like, who, what led me here? And so then I begin to unfollow, or somebody who brags too much and they're showing off too many things, and you're like, oh, I'm not where I'm I feel like I should be in my life, and they're making you feel crazy, unfollow them too. Or so, you know, if you just don't like the direction somebody's going, unfollow. That's a very, very, very powerful option that we have when it comes to social media, because we're ingesting so much, and it moves so fast, you know what I mean? But going back to like the Zoom meetings, like what I've done with friends is sort of have like craft nights. And so we'll set a time, you know, we may have a snack or so, or wine, and then we'll pick a craft that we're working on, and we'll work on it together, and we'll talk, and we'll knit or paint or do whatever. We've done that. I've also had a session of making candles via Zoom.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, for a birthday party. So I was just trying to figure out, all right, is one of my good friend's birthday, what are we going to do? Because that was like, you know, right in the beginning of the summer when we were still sort of like going through it as a city. And so it wasn't safe enough to meet up. And so I was like, you know what? Let's go and order kits and then have everyone have it at their house and order in a certain time frame so folks could have it on time. And then we set it up in the kitchen because you had to use the stove to make the candle and stuff like that. And it was really fun. You got to make it fun.
I like that.
Yeah.
And you don't think about how things such as that bring us closer and at the same time are giving you ideas of things you can do by yourself. Because
true,
in your home, you have the material. So even after you've done this group activity, mm-hmm. if it was one that brought you joy, if you're finding yourself sitting at home like, man, I'm bored, I don't know what to do. Oh, I still got leftover material. Let me go redo, like basically reinvent this mm-hmm. activity that we just did and recreate that moment that brought me peace. Mm-hmm. And in therapy, that's what a lot of times what's happening, especially when you're looking at cognitive behavioral therapy and you're asking individuals like, can you remember a time when things didn't feel the way they felt or when they did, but you were able to either have a positive outcome or have a positive outlook? And then if you can, how do we like what were the steps you took and how can we do that again in this situation, right, or apply that to this situation? Mm-hmm. And I mentioned that because cognitive behavioral therapy or talk therapy, solution focused therapy are also means of treatment or just ways to alleviate the symptoms of sad. So mm-hmm. I'm happy that you brought that so we could tie all that together.
Yes, because I'm an advocate for therapy, so a big advocate. Change your life.
I was drinking water because that, like, it came to my mind, like, this year, like, a lot of people have learned, and if they haven't learned, they're learning, man, it's drink your water and mind your business season, and that's mind it. The business that pays you.
That's it.
Like,
that's it.
Jump it, like, having to have these discussions where you're honestly, it's draining to try to get somebody to see your point of view who is bent on only seeing things their way.
True. Yep. Yep. Like, so it's like you're talking to a brick wall. So it's like, do you want to exert that energy? Or you could put that energy in a craft, in a hobby, in learning something like a language, in cooking, in whatever. You know what I mean? You could even come up with your own business in that time frame. Take that energy and recycle it to be more productive for you, because you're not going to get anything out of having a battle with, a keyboard thug, basically. Yeah.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a few more things I just want to add to this conversation are as far as things that help me mitigate or reduce the symptoms of sad. Meal prep. I know a lot of people like, what? But let's break down how meal prep can help. One, it requires for you to remember to grocery shop, because for a lot of people, the reason you're eating the way you eat is because you're not grocery shopping, or when you are grocery shopping, you're just grabbing the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, I go hungry.
Yeah.
Which is wrong. Don't do that. It's wrong.
But so many people do that, and you don't, like, going hungry or not eating is not going to cause you to lose weight. It's causing your body to literally, like, store fat and use that fat to literally, it's like your body's going to hibernation mode. So, like, I got to store more fat when you do eat, which causes the bloating and other things. Mm-hmm. I'm not a nutritionist or a physical trainer, so please get that information from those around you who you know are, but this is what I've learned from my own personal journey.
I got a hack for that, too. You know, when you do the, like, the HelloFresh and all those box meal, that you could get, like, some for free. Like, your first one could be free or really, really highly discounted.
Okay.
And that takes the guesswork of figuring out what you want. And so, yeah, I that's a good hack because you get to try. They send you everything to the house, and then you don't have to go to the store if you don't want to go to the store. And then you can make the meal, and the meals take 30 minutes to, you know, to put together, and they're really good. And you probably get it for
And then you also have, because of COVID, a lot of places have now reached out more to doing delivery. So you can literally do your grocery shopping online so you're not tempted in the store while hungry.
That's me.
And go online, like take out, like we were talking about planning. Plan out your meals and be like, okay, this is the ingredients I need for these meals, and have them delivered to your home, and then set up your meals for the week. Also, why it's important to meal prep. One, it helps with your nutritional journey. It makes easy access to having things that you need throughout the week. So one, it maybe help with running late for work, or let's say maybe sleeping is something like it's just hard to wake up. So when you do wake up, it's not, oh, I overslept, so I didn't, that's why I didn't have my lunch. All you had to do is grab it out of the refrigerator, like it's already there. And then at night, when you get those midnight munchies, or when you come home from work and you're like, I'm too tired to cook, all you got to do is heat something up. And it gives you a specific activity on a certain day. So if maybe you're cooking all your meals on Sunday, maybe you're cooking them all on Saturday, whatever day you're cooking all your meals, then you know you have an activity that's going to keep you occupied and keep your mind like fresh because you're going to be cooking and
Yeah,
being.
put on a podcast and just put on a long one. Just make all your meals, you know.
And I mean, depending on where you're getting your recipes from, you doing a lot of reading because, you know, a lot of people are doing recipes in the form of blogs. So you just found out somebody's sweet grandma left them the recipe, you know,
Oh.
whatever year, and
Do
she
you have a
made.
favorite food Instagram?
I don't right now. I do have a colleague. Matter of fact, let me look it up right quick. I have a colleague and her significant other does food on his IG, but he's also an artist. So you get a little food, you get a little bit of you know, like art to hang in your house. So his name is Chris. Chris, what is your IG? Okay, so. Oh man, and yeah, y'all, like the food on, I'm not even gonna ruin it for you. The food on here looks amazing.
What's his name?
His name is Chris Hazlitt, and
Okay.
literally his IG is CSHAYZLETT. And like I said, some amazing food pics. Man, I'm gonna show y'all a few. I ain't gonna like do y'all like that. So he made Italian burgers last night on toasted artisan buns with garlic and herb aioli, topped with parmesan, marinara, and fresh basil.
Oh, he's fancy, huh?
I know, right? Like how you artists with their food, they played it just right.
That's all. That is art form, though. I'm always so like just interested in how folks just so like capture the moment of their plates. I'm just like, my food when I make it don't come out that pretty. It tastes good, but I'm just like I'm not taking a picture of this plate.
He made Nashville hot chicken dogs.
I'm still mad that I didn't get hot chicken when I went to the City Match conference that year because Uber was like holding me back and holding me down. You know, I was going specifically, I mean, for the conference, of course. But I wanted hot chicken and I didn't get it, so you're gonna have to send me some.
All right. I'm not even laughing at that specifically, because when we were in where we were in Portland, everywhere got hot, like a Nashville hot chicken version of something, and it made me kind of upset because I'm like, I'm in a different city. I want to know what's your city about. Why you
Right.
got all these different versions of things that are reminiscent of a certain city?
Yep, like New York pizza.
Yeah, like if I lived there and I was missing, I guess, Nashville or missing Georgia where I'm from, but like to go out of town for conferences and stuff and be like, I want to try something like a hole in the wall local to this. And people be like, oh, I got one for you. And they take you and half the stuff on the menu was like their version of something from where you're from. And you're just like, now I want to go somewhere where you got all of the food for here.
Not right, like, right, yeah. Yes.
Someone be like, nah, this don't taste like what it tastes like in Nashville.
Or right, yeah, good. That's the other part of it. That's the other part. But
So his Instagram is definitely one that I follow. And because I do know him, just to see the last time we all like actually got together, he made like the shrimp tacos. Mm-hmm. And it was so interesting because it took him a little minute. And I was just like, he's putting so much love and care into this.
Yes. Don't cook angry. I learned that's a real thing. Don't cook angry because I'm upset. It just is like it don't come out right. It don't come out right. So just I believe that. Don't cook angry.
Oh, another one. Kimmy. What's Kimmy's page? So Kimmy makes amazing popcorn, which you all can order from anywhere. and yes, we are plugging friends right now. So
Thanks. Well, the folks that I was going to name, they're like internet friends. I don't really know them, but while you look for Kimmy, I'll say my favorites, which are Fit Man Cook, which is like he goes from like vegetarian style meals to like keto friendly meals, and they're really interesting. Like I feel like he made like cheeseburger egg rolls the other day, and I was like, that looks amazing. And so the meals look relatively quick, and so I really enjoy that page. And I also enjoy Darius Cooks, which is all the unhealthy food, like the stuff, like he's Southern, so you already know what's on that page. Okay, you already know. And it's like if you about to be bad with your food, go there and be bad and be extra bad. And then my new favorite is I think her name is That Nurse Can Cook. Yeah, she her stuff is looking good too. So
Kimmy's another one, food artist, as you can see. but her page is Kimmy Kitchen, and it's KIMMI and then kitchen, KITCHEN. And just so you know, you're on the right page. Make sure I get good pictures of people so they don't tell me about this later. Amy. And she also makes popcorn, like Louisiana Cajun, and other flavors that you can order and have delivered. So yes,
guys. Look at that.
Yes, check her out. Support local, especially if you have people who are local to you that are on IG or even just at your local farmers market. I encourage you all to check them out as well. Yeah. Especially during this time of COVID, where you know it may be difficult. Some businesses are being hardly impacted. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you support local, support small businesses, and support your community.
Absolutely.
And I'm trying to think. I know how we got to the food.
I know. So that's the thing. We always are so easily like just derailed, but we come back. We bring it back and then we're good.
So now I'm like, what was there any other
thing? We were just talking about like the meal prep. You were mentioning meal prep. And so we were giving some hacks. So it's like one, try a meal box kit, which is very easy. Two is sort of like, you know, using social media in a different way. So in a useful way, in a way that really will support your health and well-being.
So I know we talked about Zoom, but if you are someone who has a family that you're living with, maybe you move back in with mom and dad for a little while for financial stability at the moment, or even if you have a family of your own, now is a great time to take advantage of being at home with those individuals. And I know you're probably like, man, I've been at home with them for so long, like tell me something else. But no, like winter's coming, maybe start a new tradition. We got pumpkin carving season coming up. We have Christmas tree decorating, or depending on your belief system, there are other activities coming up. So use this time to your advantage. Maybe you're not gonna go out and buy something. Maybe you're gonna make it this year. So bring home all the activities to like make.
Have a bake off in the house, like during the Halloween season and Christmas season. The Food Network is popping. Okay, I'm just sitting there stuck for hours. Like I'm watching Lifetime, watching people bake all kind of crazy cakes and stuff like that. And again, I'm hungry because you know that's just what it is. But you know, maybe take that from the Food Network and bring it into your own kitchen.
Okay, And then even the, and yeah, so that and what I was saying too was like the, sorry. We talked about watches. Mine is telling me time to stand up. So I'm like, oh, and then it was telling me to breathe. If you got a watch, it's gonna help you in this season. But also, I was talking about like easy bake ovens. So if it's smaller people in the house, everybody can be involved. They didn't make that easy bake oven recipe. You make the bigger, you know, the big version of everything. And then y'all, you know, mommy, daddy, who tastes better? Me, you. Like, let's go. Now's a great time too to get to learn more about each other. So yes, emotionally you may be feeling weighted, but maybe a way to push through that or something to give you something to look forward to is being able to actually sit and see how the people around you are growing, how they're changing. What is it that they enjoy doing now that maybe they weren't doing before? How have you all grown closer together? And if you are with your significant other, how, you know, has your relationship changed during this time? Like, how are you all, you know, being there for each other, showing love for each other? And not to end it on a bad note, because it's not a bad note at all. One of those, it's the season two when a lot of things change. So for some people, relationships end. But to not use this as a time to reflect in sadness, but reflect in hope. So using it as a time to reflect upon the growth that came from our relationships, the things that we learned about ourselves from those relationships, things we liked, things we didn't like, and then how do I plan using this information that I now have for my future and for the season that's to come? The one that we usually think of when we think of like spring and summer, we think of love, we think of, you know, being able to be more active. So how do I,
Blooming.
yeah, so how do I take what I learned in my pruning season into my blooming season?
Oh, I like that. Ooh, you're good. I
That's gonna be my mic drop.
That's it. Just cut it off. We're done here. We're done. It's a wrap. It's over.
You have anything for the people at least that you would like to end, like an end note for them when it comes to this season?
Lean on what brings you joy and what really brings you joy, not what the people around you find joyful, but what really makes your heart sing and make your heart flutter and do that thing and lean on that thing and lean on as much as you can to help you get through this difficult time, because we don't know what's ahead for us, you know, with the election, the coronavirus, just anything. So hold on to what's good as much as you can, because they're still good. It's just that what's highlighted in the news reels and all of those sort of things are the bad, and that's on purpose. And so again, you know, like we mentioned earlier, setting boundaries is really key, and just really preserving just how you wake up, how you go through the world, how you interact, how you internalize. Is that the easiest thing? But it's necessary for your survival, period.
All right, guys. Hopefully you all have something. If you even if you didn't take away all of that, you have something that you can be like, okay, I'm gonna use that, you know, in the coming season. If anything, please just create a schedule. The rest of fall, like let the rest fall into place, but at least start with creating a schedule, because if you don't know where you're spending your time and how you're spending your time, you have no clue when you lose track of time because you don't know what you were doing with it in the first place.
It's like making a budget for your time. You're budgeting your time. Like you're budgeting, you know, they say you gotta make a job for every dollar. And so like make a job for every hour, I guess, but not so strict that it makes you crazy, because that can happen also. But maybe we can like link it below. Like I feel like we spoke about it before, the Lisa Nichols video where she sort of like she rethinks her schedule. And so I've done it for like a week, and if I felt great, did fall off though. But you know what? That happens. We human, and we're gonna get back up on there. But it was sort of like, you know, like when it was time to take a shower in the morning, I put glow time. And so glow time is twice a day, because I'll take a shower in the morning, you know, wash my face, cleanse my face, and things like that. And then I'll do the same thing at night. And so I'm like changing the task to be something fun and fulfilling. So for my PM workout, I feel like I'm trying to remember. I feel like it's loving my body to health. And I put that for 6 p.m. when I'm supposed to work out, but depending on the day, it might not be 6 p.m., might be 7 p.m., but maybe we could link that below, because I really think that's a great start, because sometimes I think folks may need a little bit of help creating a template for a schedule.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you all, I'm Shanika.
I'm Eilish.
We thank you for joining us for this wonderful, if we do say so ourselves, show your love video, and stay tuned for more content to come.
Yes, bye.